This month, June of 2017, each Sunday in the sermon series, I am focusing on different topics that are key to our religious life, but also to the lives of all of us as humans. Last week, we spoke about grace and blessings. This week, we speak about suffering and change. Suffering and change are constants in our life. They are part of how God planned and established creation. And this is often one of the most confusing aspects of each of our individual lives as people, as well as our lives as a society. And from a theological point of view, perhaps, it's one that we're constantly dancing with, at times dancing around, because we speak about our God and our Christ as being a salvation and a blessing on each of us and on all the world. And this is true. And yet we still have suffering. So the question will often come up, how can a God of salvation, a God of grace, allow such terrible suffering to take place? Doesn't that prove that there is no God? That is a topic, if you ever speak with any of your friends or family who are, shall we say, questioning of their beliefs, might come up. And it's certainly a topic that comes up in the social circles that we might find ourselves in, or that is on the in newspapers and in politics and in other parts of our lives. Well, one response I would say is this piece of scripture from 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 7. May the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be blessed. He is the compassionate Father and God of all comfort. He's the one who comforts us in all our trouble so that we can comfort other people who are in every kind of trouble. We offer the same comfort that we ourselves received from God. That is because we receive so much comfort through Christ in the same way that we share so many of Christ's sufferings. So if we have trouble, it is to bring you comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is to bring you comfort from the experience of endurance while you go through the same sufferings that we also suffer. Our hope for you is certain because we know that as you are partners in suffering, so also you are partners in comfort. Change is a constant in our lives and in all of creation. It seems, from what I've observed, and nothing has led me to think this is different, that change is how life works. Each of us take a breath, many a minute, many over the course of the day. If we stop breathing, we no longer have our physical life. As our bodies grow and change from when we are infants to when we are, shall we say, on the older side of life, as many of us can relate to, our bodies continue to change even now. But now we might find ourselves with less energy, less focus, less physical ability than we once had. And this will even influence how our minds work, how our emotions work. We might find that we almost at times return to a sense of the lack of control that we might have experienced when we were children. Comes up even now as we're adults, especially as we age. So this change, this constant expanding growth that reaches its peak at a certain point in our physical lives and then starts to go down the other side, happens to everyone. It happened to our parents. It happened to our grandparents. We can even see it happening to our children as they age. We certainly see it in ourselves. Change is part of how God works in the world. Maybe the heart of how God works in creation. And because this change is so constant, so relentless, it can bring suffering because we cannot control it. There are some things we can control, but we cannot control our physical selves, not really. We can work out, ride bicycles, swim, hike, watch our diets, do yoga, do all kinds of things to help ourselves feel stronger, more present in our bodies, more in control, more capable, more empowered. And yet, as each of us know, there will be times when we are sick or our bodies are not responding the way they once did, that we lose much of that control. And so as a result, we can feel that pain of loss, the loss of the vitality or the strength or the focus we once had, that we took for granted when we were 12 and 15 and 20 and even 30 and 40, becomes much less dependable, much less part of our day-to-day lives as we age. And so suffering can result because of that sense of we're not as strong, we're not as capable, we're not as blessed, perhaps, as we once were. And because it is our body that is going through this, we understandably take it quite personally. It's probably something we are doing wrong that this is happening. Because if God really loved me, God wouldn't make my life this hard. These are the hard, difficult, and consistent questions each of us will have over the course of our lives. And for many of us, we didn't have to deal with that level of challenge, physical challenge, health challenge, when we were younger. But maybe now as we're older, we do have to deal with it more. But at one time or another, whether old or young, male or female, black or white, poor or rich, American or anybody else, we have to deal with these things. And we have to find our own way of relating to God in the midst of that suffering, in the midst of that change. I believe part of the reason for the change, maybe the main reason for the change, is that if life itself does not continue to change, to evolve, to use one term, to continually expand and grow, that it will die. I know we've all heard that kind of saying. I'm not sure the exact wording or where it originated, but you know, you change, you grow, or you die. You keep going. You keep living your life to the best of your abilities, because when you stop living, when you stop having some level of interest, when you stop caring about your life, that's probably when your days, so to speak, are numbered. So if that is true for an individual person, such as any of us, I think it's safe to say that it's true for all of creation. All the literature I've read, all the studies I've read about science and understanding how life, the organism life, works, seems to lead that there's constantly driving forward, constantly wanting to change and grow and become something maybe a little bit different, maybe a lot different than it was previously. All the research we read about in understanding how the universe functions, the universe keeps expanding. It's not shrinking. It's continuing to expand. So God is continuing to put all of God's resources, all God's energy, all God's fascination and creativity into this grand experiment that is creation, that we are all part of. And so change is that constant that we cannot get away from. The ancient Greek philosopher Heraclitus, I know you all have his work on your bedside table, he's known sometimes as the weeping philosopher, because among other things, he said, everything changes and nothing remains still. Nothing remains the same. one of his great statements, which may or may not have been from him, but has been passed down, is you cannot step twice into the same stream. The idea being, even if you cross that stream every day on your way to work or on your way to temple or wherever you're going, this was, of course, thousands of years ago, you are different than you were the day before. And the water in that stream is different than it was the day before. So each of us are constantly changing, whether we admit it to ourselves or not. Now, at the same time, roughly the same time as Heraclitus, there was another great philosopher in India called Gautama. And Gautama, who became later known as the Buddha, or the Awakened One, had similar things to say. He said that life is inherently impermanent, that all of life is change. And as a result of that, we can experience some level of suffering in our lives, maybe a lot. So the human condition is that our life is of constant change, and yet because of how we are built, maybe more so in our minds than in our bodies, we expect that our job is to keep things stable and unchanging. So we have our lives where we are known for whatever it is we do for a living, whoever we have as our family, whoever we have as friends, the home we live in. And we live to some degree with this idea, some might call it a fallacy, that this is real. That Burke, here in this church, is the pastor. That Diane is our music director. That Lou, Diane's husband and associate in many things, has been part of this church along with Diane for generations, or decades anyway. And it is, it's true because that's part of our personal story, and yet at the same time, it's really not true because who we are underneath the surface of our identity as people in this world, doing our work, being who we are as parents, as children, employees, etc., etc., is a temporary stage in our existence. We came from somewhere else. We're going to somewhere else. We are here on this earth for a period of time. As God has called us here, God will call us away to something we do not know what. So when we see that life is a constancy of change, and that as a result, we can suffer from that change because we're so determined to hold our identity as being the true, and the change as being the temporary aberration, it's not temporary, it's a constant. In order to be successful in this world, we have to take ourselves seriously and, you know, return the phone calls and the emails and do the job we committed to doing and be known as being dependable and honest and loving and wise in our choices. But at the same time, we are to some degree playing a game where we are playing a part. Playing a part of being Burke or Diane or Lou or Ted or Sue or Laverna or Dorothy or Elaine or whoever, all of us. This is our role. This is the role we play in this life. But ultimately, we are something we don't even understand because we are a soul that is part of God, created by God, directed by God. And that is, in many ways, a great mystery compared to the person that puts on clothes every day and has a social security number and pays taxes and drives a car and all of that. And I think looking at change and seeing that it is unavoidable and that we actually have some choices as to how to live our lives, the change model can be helpful. So we cannot control how long we'll live, what our health is going to be. We can work hard to control our finances. We can work hard to control our health. We can work hard to do right by our children and parents and family and friends and church and jobs and all of that. But ultimately, we have very little control. Things happen, as we know, all the time. Sometimes little things, sometimes horrific things, so we don't know how we're going to possibly deal with it. And sometimes we do, and sometimes we're not able to. We can't control that. And to think that when something bad happens to us, difficult happens to us, when change happens to us that is overwhelming, that it is our fault. Now, sometimes we have a role to play in it, of course, but oftentimes we don't. Power beyond our control takes over. Maybe it's God. Certainly it's life that changes things. So what I'm saying is that along with that level of change, the one thing we do have control over ultimately is how we respond, what we choose to do, and how we choose to think about it. We can react and scream and tear our clothes and run down the street, which sometimes is probably not a bad idea, but we can also choose to see it as, I'm going to do the best I can with this. And at a time like this, I need to call on God. I need to call on God and say, help me with this, because I don't know what to do, and I'm overwhelmed, and I'm freaking out here, man. You might not say man or freaking out to God, but you get the gist. It is all we can really do is call on God, call on Jesus, say, help me, please. And then when we get, as I hope you all will, as I know I have many times, some level of calming, some level of hope, because I feel God's presence, even if only for a second, I feel some shifting and I don't feel as scared or as worried or as desperate as I did. And then when I have that moment, a little bit of objectivity comes in. I can see things a little more clearly. Then I can say, God, what would you do? How do I deal with this? Show me how. I don't want to make it worse. I want to be your agent in this world. And I'm dealing with things I hadn't planned on dealing with, I didn't want to deal with. But I'm trusting that you know what's happening and that you will guide me right. And that can cut down on my fear and confusion, but it can also cut down on my level of suffering, as it might for you too. Earlier, when the children were up here, Ricky said something to the effect of, well, he was very clear he's not really a big fan of the school system, right? Not really into that. So it's like, but I think his example was cleaning his room. And so if he prays when his mom says to clean his room, but I still have to clean my room, yeah, that's right. But you hopefully feel a little less alone. You hopefully feel a little less enraged by the injustice of life that they're asking you to clean your room again. That's so, so bad. Boy, he has no idea what's coming. Cleaning your room will be the smallest of worries. But I find that it's like that. You call on God, God is there, maybe not right away, maybe not to the extent that you would like, but God is there. And the more we practice calling on God, praying, being present with the divine in all we do, or as much as we can, the more it changes us, the more it gives us hope, the more it frees us from our fears and our anxieties, our sense of anger and resentment that can do such terrible, terrible damage. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Plain in Luke, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, offer the other one as well. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt either. Give to everyone who asks, and don't demand your things back from those who take them. Treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. That's all you need. Is that easy to do? No. It's crazy hard to do that. The moments when it's easy to do, enjoy those moments, because those moments are precious. The moments when it's not easy to do, that's the norm. That's what we have to work with. If it was easy to do this stuff, we would be such a different species. I can't even begin to understand it. So do what you can. Accept that change is a constant. Accept that suffering is sometimes just built into it, and at other times is self-generated. If we take the time to resent other people's actions on our lives, then we're bringing more suffering into our own lives and the lives of others. And I'm not saying just turn the other cheek, like, it's no big deal, I don't care. Of course you care. You have to learn how to process it so that it doesn't eat away at you. There's so many reasons why each of us can be resentful and angry at life. There's a long list we each carry somewhere, a long list that's a burden. You can't really throw it away. You can't erase them all. But they don't have to be what guides you in your life, and they don't have to be what means more than anything else. If only I could get my own back, then it would be okay. Not going to happen. Ever. Ever, 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 ever. So try to give that one up. Try not to hold those grudges. Try to put them aside. Know that they're there. You'll probably still have a feeling about them always. But don't let them be what drives you. Don't let them be what motivates you. Don't let your suffering be your reason for existing. Too many people do that, and it makes the world hell. Romans 5:3-5. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.